presented at step two is irrelevant if Smith is actually disabled at a later step of sequential evaluation. The commissioner argues that it is irrelevant if this claim is not grounded. The commissioner's position is inconsistent with this court's purpose of step two, and is also unreasonable on its face. We'll now describe how Smith has a meritorious claim if the ALJ had proceeded beyond step two, and if the case is remanded, how an ALJ could find Smith disabled on remand.
Isn't the problem in this case that he did not demonstrate a severe impairment within the term of the disability insurance coverage?
Yes. Smith's ALS insurance expired on December 31st, 1996. We believe, just considering Smith's knee condition alone, he has step two severe impairment.
But didn't his doctor who treated the knee condition release him to go back to his construction job?
Yes. Treating physician Dr. Wertheimer allowed Detective Smith to go back to his past relevant work. However, Dr. Wertheimer was not a vocational expert. There's no evidence that Dr. Wertheimer had any idea what lifting, standing, clearance, work of work as a pedagogy equipment operator. Smith reported to the agency that he lifted as much as 80 pounds at working as a heavy equipment operator. That is inconsistent with Dr. Wertheimer's opinion that Smith could not do heavy lifting. Given Dr. Wertheimer's opinion that Smith could not do heavy lifting, Smith can show not only that he can no longer perform task relevant work as a heavy equipment operator, but also underperform a significant number of jobs at step five.
I'm not understanding this. So you're saying that because Smith's testimony undermines his treating physician's testimony, that what?
Well,
because he's saying he was capable of doing more.
There are two issues: whether or not the treating physician knew the demands of Smith's past work as a heavy equipment operator, and what the treating physician said about his medical limitations. So we fully endorse Dr. Wertheimer's opinion that Smith could not do heavy lifting. We disagree with his determination, which implies an understanding of vocational effects, that Smith could return to his past work as a heavy equipment operator.
Mr. Schumer, it really seems to me the problem is he wandered into that hearing without a lawyer. He didn't develop the evidence. We're compelled to go along with the ALJ if there's substantial evidence supporting him. And, you know, you can speculate, but there wasn't any evidence produced of a severe disability. It's just as simple as that.
Relying on two types of evidence. First, Dr. Wertheimer's opinion and other evidence from him. Dr. Wertheimer reported in early 93 that Smith had moderate...
Yeah, but the question is there substantial evidence supporting the ALJ? And I think he's entitled to rely on the fact that Smith didn't see any problem. He'd go back to the doctor. It says he didn't have any problem. I mean, what is substantial evidence if it's not testimony from the claimant himself?
Yes, Smith is an inarticulate representative for himself. Smith did not realize that he was disabled, considering only his knee condition.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. But you know, you're attacking the step two, and it seems to me Bowen against Euchre tells us that these regulations are reasonable regulations. We've got to go by them. What do you do with the Bowen against Euchre?
We don't dispute that the regulation is valid. We're challenging how it was applied in this case to deny as...
You are sort of challenging. You say skip to step four or five. Don't stop at two.
Well, the reason that we can prove dispositively that Smith had a step two impairment is by showing how he could be disabled at step five, assuming as true his treating physician's opinion.
We're told by the regulation stop at two.
Right, but the agency defines, and also in the Supreme Court's decision in Yucker, talks about the even-if inquiry, that even if a claimant had adverse vocational factors, age, education, work experience, the claimant would be found not disabled at step two. Step two is a screening device to rule out groundless claims. In this case, the ALJ used the step two to to find that Smith did not have a meritorious claim.
Well, when, if it's step two, it's not severe, that's the end of it. That's the regulation.
Well, yes, but we're able to show by directly that it was a step two impairment by showing how he would be defined disabled at a later step of the sequential evaluation.
But counsel, isn't your real, I mean, shouldn't you be arguing that given the pro se nature of this, that the ALJ did not adequately develop the record so that your client might have been able to put in some of this other evidence of impairment prior to 1996?
Yes, Your Honor. We have argued that the ALJ failed in his duty to develop the record, specifically with respect to how far Smith could stand, endure, or walk at one time and total in an 8-hour day. Smith had his main impairment before his date last insured was his knee condition. He told the ALJ that he had difficulty walking. There's also medical evidence of difficulty walking from Dr. Wertheimer. Given those facts, we believe the ALJ should have asked the $64,000 questions, how long Smith could walk at one time, how long he could walk total in an 8-hour day. For example, if Smith could only stand in or walk 2 hours in an 8-hour day, he would be limited to sedentary work, and he would be found disabled at step 5, assuming he didn't have any transferable skills. So, yes, the ALJ made multiple errors, including an error in failing to develop the record with respect to.
She was hindered by not having any medical records or evidence. She just, all she could do was just ask questions of Mr. Smith.
Right. There's no requirement for contemporaneous medical evidence. We're relying on the uncontradicted medical evidence from March 1993. At that point in time, he had moderate degenerative arthritis in his right knee, and that would not spontaneously abate. It's arthritis, the degenerative condition, so that condition would continue. If I may reserve the rest of my time in rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Stephanie Martz on behalf of the Commissioner of the Social Security Administration. Mr. Schnapper has just vigorously argued that the ALJ misapplied the legal standard at Step 2. His argument is essentially that he terms it in his brief as a double negative, that if he can prove disability or meet his burdens at step 4, that somehow he must meet step 2. And what he has done is just to turn the sequential evaluation process on its head. This case is not about the proper application of the legal standard. It's about what the facts show. And the facts show that Mr. Smith did not meet his burden of establishing that he had a severe impairment.
Well, the facts have to meet the standard of at step 2.
True. And here the facts are, as you have been discussing with Mr. Schnapper, is the absence of any medical evidence from May 1993 up until April 1997, which is 4 months after the expiration of his insured status. That absence of the medical evidence is very indicative of whether or not Mr. Smith was actually had any limitations that were significantly limiting him. Well, step 2 is a screening device and has been called a screening device to weed out groundless claims. It is still a threshold, and that threshold still must be met. And the threshold, the evaluation process must proceed in order, which is what the Supreme Court upheld in Bowen v. Yuckert. In addition, Mr. Schnapper's argument essentially is that if you go down to step 4 and he can maybe show he can't do his past relevant work, then therefore he must meet step 2. That whole idea was rejected by the Supreme Court in Bowen v. Yuckert. In Bowen, the lower court held that the commissioner's regulation was invalid because it didn't consider vocational factors at step 2. And that's precisely what Mr. Schnapper's argument is advancing, and that was rejected. You did not look at vocational factors such as age, education, and prior work experience at step 2.
Well, shouldn't we send this back to let the record be developed a little further? Because there were several ambiguities in the testimony, and he was pro se.
Yes, he was pro se, but the questions were asked. The ALJ asked him what his problems were in 1996, and he responded he didn't really have a lot of health problems in 1996. There was discussion of how much he could lift, and there was a discussion that he had some troubles walking. There are no more medical evidence. There's no medical records to obtain. The questions were asked by the ALJ, asking him what his limitations were, what his health problems were. And really, if you look down at the record as a whole, Mr. Smith felt that he was disabled because he had a heart attack. And unfortunately, that heart attack occurred in April of 1997, which was 4 months after his insured status expired. There's no more development that could be done at this point. I just wanted to briefly touch upon the lifting, his Mr. Schnapper's argument about lifting 80 pounds, that his testimony, that Dr. Wertheimer wouldn't know what the exertional demands of his past job were, and that the demands of the job show that he was lifting up to 80 pounds. In his disability report that Mr. Smith completed, he indicated that his ability to lift was really dependent on the particular job he was doing. So it wasn't that every job he did, he was lifting 80 pounds. That wouldn't be dispositive of Dr. Wertheimer's opinion or whether he could perform his past job at step four. If there are no other questions, thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Yes, Smith has an alternative argument that putting aside the issue of whether we can prove a step two impairment by looking to step four and step five, Smith had a severe impairment at two alone. Smith had a uncontradicted testimony that district court accepted is that he could only lift 25 to 30 pounds. Assuming that is true, Smith had a step two severe impairment. We do not need to proceed and look at the arguments about step four and five proving dispositively that it is a step two impairment, because we know, looking just at step two, that it is a severe impairment. The commissioner argued the vocational factors are not considered. The commissioner is really arguing that they are considered, because what we're saying is apart from any age, education, and work experience, Smith had a step two impairment. The commissioner says that our position is contrary to Yuckert. I believe it's not. In Yuckert specifically talked about the even if analysis, that even if a claimant had adverse vocational factors, the claimant would not be found inaccurately not disabled at step two. Believe that in this case, Smith has presented it strong. He's carried his burden to prove that he has a step two impairment, and the case should go forward for further development of the record. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. Smith versus Barnhart is submitted. We'll take up Hamry versus City of Bothell.